Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode number 51. Today is June 5th. It's a Monday, and that means only one, sometimes two things, but usually just means Steve's here.
Only Monday after pay-per-views.
Yeah, Mondays after pay-per-views, which is like every other fucking week at this point, right?
Yeah, it's twice a month. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. We just had Extreme Rules. Am I wrong in saying that there wasn't much of anything that felt extreme last night?
I always thought, and this is, you know, watching ECW as a kid, as a young adult, I guess. Extreme at less rules, less stipulations.
I've seen pay-per-views with more stipulations that were more hardcore than quote unquote Extreme Rules was last night.
Yeah, I was like, if you get disqualified, you lose a match. That's not really extreme.
Yeah. So just to let everybody know right now, if you're expecting some like fun-loving, happy-go-lucky, positive review, you're not going to get it from me for this particular show. I'm going on a limb right now and saying I was not entertained by most of the evening. So
I think the pre-show match, I think, was one of the best parts. Which is a first, I think.
The pre-show match was not bad at all. It was really, that match actually had even more potential, but, you know, we got to have the fucking commercial break.
We saw more cruiserweight type action in that match than we have since 205 Live started.
Wow. Truth. Sad truth.
Yep.
Speaking of truth, don't you feel like they could have squeezed in Goldust versus Truth at some point?
They must be saving that for SummerSlam.
Oh, God. I mean, they're going to build up to SummerSlam. Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if that's actually the thing that they do? Like, they don't even have a match until SummerSlam?
They'll just do the vignettes for the 2 months.
You know what, though? If R-Truth keeps quoting fucking Jules from Pulp Fiction, I'm all in.
Yeah, hopefully he gets to the point where he's like, say what again?
Yeah, like, there's Pulp Fiction, in my opinion, is one of the three most quotable films ever made. So I'm okay with that.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
I'm trying to think of movies that are more quotable, and to me, Big Lebowski is right there. And then I'm kind of out. Like, I can't think of many movies that have as many great quotable lines as those two films. I'm struggling.
I'm drawing a blank.
Like, everybody knows Forrest Gump lines, but aside from like 10 different lines that were overused and abused, that's more quality than quantity, and it's not necessarily even quality, it's just well known. Whereas, probably if you asked me to name 50 different quotes from either movie, I could probably come close to doing that without looking anything up.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There was one point when I moved, couldn't get cable for like 2 weeks, and I just watched Pulp Fiction over and over and over again, and I don't know why, but I just did, so I got well versed in the quoting of that. And Big Lebowski, I mean, come on. It's the movie that set the fucking record for the word fuck in a movie.
Did it really?
Not only that, but there's also I can't remember, it's actually a four-person drinking game. It's random, like, people draw what they get. You either drink when the word dude is said, when shit is said, when fuck is said, and then I can't remember what the fourth one is. Basically, you do not want to get fuck or dude. You would be tanked.
You would die, yeah.
I tried drinking every time to dude, and I couldn't handle it. Then I couldn't handle it when I was drinking a lot. Now I couldn't, for sure. So, all right, you brought up the match, the kickoff match with Apollo Crews and Kalisto. Where are they going with this Titus and Apollo thing? Because I thought they were off to a great start the night that Titus came out and was mocking Enzo and Cass. He was fucking electric. He was on fire. And now, basically, Apollo's like, oh, my coach is yelling at me? I'm going to get distracted by it, and it just seems so stupid, the storyline. So are they going to keep going down this really stupid route, or are they going to regroup?
Well, I'm going to assume it's going to go the really stupid route until seems they eventually fair. Break up.
Don't you think, I mean, now is the time, and we'll touch more on this during the tag team match, but right now we are down to 5 tag teams, probably soon to be 4 tag teams if Cass is the one behind the Enzo thing. Don't they need more tag teams?
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, I mean, you can't have the same 2 teams fight all the time. I mean, 3 months I think is the max for the same 2 teams fighting for the belt.
Listen, Sheamus and Orton would say no, okay? They would say, no, we can have a feud for 7 months and nobody will mind it. So, there, Steve.
I guess I was proving wrong.
God, I could never get... I blew my mind at how often those two would have matches. I don't know why, but those two have had so many matches. I think they've had more matches than Orton and Cena have.
I don't think anyone's had that many matches. Except maybe Sami Zayn and Owens, but that's throughout their careers.
That's true. I'd say... going old school, Jake the Snake and Million Dollar Man had a lot of fucking fights against each other. Huh. And so did, God damn it, Tito Santana and, maybe Rick Martel is who I'm thinking of.
I could see that, yeah.
So, so just mention Million Dollar Man. Did you see the freaking
Adam
Virgil?
Jones?
Yes! God damn it, I messaged Carrie and Russ at the same time, like, did you fucking see that dude dressed as Virgil? And like, what? I'm like, come on, guys.
Tell me, for a good minute he was on the screen, wasn't he? Felt like.
Yeah, he was, I can't remember, there was IRS, there was a Million Dollar Man, right?
Yeah, he was in the middle between IRS and Ted DiBiase.
Right, it was like a little Money Inc. thing. So, god damn it, that was brilliant.
Although I was upset they didn't have the $1 million belt. They just had the championship belt.
Yeah. And it's not like he couldn't afford the $500 that it cost to buy a replica $1 million belt.
Right. Exactly.
Which I will never understand buying replica belts. I mean, unless you're loaded. Like, if I was loaded, if I was a millionaire, yeah, I admit it, I would buy one. But otherwise, no. So much money for that shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, all those diamonds, it's just...
Pretty much, man. Diamonds are forever. And they also guarantee that you don't get laid.
Yes, that's also true.
So, Kalisto... Alright, am I alone in thinking that maybe there should be a trade for Sin Cara and just reunite Lucha Dragons?
They might as well. Either or get him on 205 Live.
Right, like, it doesn't seem like they're willing to put Kalisto on 205 Live. I'm also speculating that Kalisto may weigh over 205, because he's gotten flabby. So why not... I mean, Sin Cara is doing absolutely nothing. Like, there's no time for Sin Cara on SmackDown. Why not reunite Lucha Dragons? That was a pretty over tag team for a bit, I thought.
Yeah, they were a good tag team. Fans liked them. Kids liked them, at least. I don't know what the adults did, but screw the internet adults.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole idea is to get, you know, you got to have those acts that kids and parents can get behind and whatnot. And that was a fun team, and they did some fun flippity shit. You give them a couple wins every now and again, you're good to go. It was easy
put them in gimmick matches, them do stuff off the ladder and cages and crap, and...
Because Sin Cara isn't a terrible wrestler, but he's really not a good singles wrestler, I don't think.
Yeah, it's Hunico, right? No?
It's been Hunico, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not that good a singles wrestler.
Yeah, I don't know. All in all, it was a good match for a kickoff show.
It was the best kickoff show match I've seen.
Wow.
And better than probably 2/3 of the main roster, main event?
Yeah. the main show, main card was terrible, but yeah, it was good. It was, I think it was my third highest rated match of the night.
That's a good spot for it, yeah.
Because really, I think there was only two matches that I gave above a 5, which is sad.
I would rank the Drifter's appearance above most of those matches.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Alright, so is it inevitable that Titus and Apollo are going to break up, or is Apollo going to do a full heel turn?
I think Apollo's going to break up with Titus. Maybe Darren Young comes back and takes his place. I don't know.
It just seems Titus right now is so... He's very good on the mic. I don't want to say he's great, but he's very good on the mic when given something to do with it. Like, when he was working with a New Day, it didn't work. It was dumb. This stuff seems to be working, but they gotta keep... I don't know. I feel like they should turn Apollo. This is the most interesting Apollo has been since he's been at WWE, NXT, what, all of that. This is the most interesting he's been. Keep him going heel, I think.
They gotta do something with him. Because now he's just doing nothing.
Right. Either mercy release him or do something of interest. Those are your options. Pick one, go with it. Let's see. After that, we had the main card. We had Dean versus Miz in a... I don't even know what the hell you'd call the stipulation. If there was a disqualification, you lost them. You could lose the belt. That was the gist of it, right?
Right. Yeah.
What a clusterfuck. Now, I want your thoughts first because I have a little bit of a rant to go on, but I want to get you going first.
I thought it was too long to begin with. And it makes no sense that the ref was stopping Ambrose the whole time from being DQ'd. And then he was smart enough to realize Maurice slapped The Miz for an intentional DQ, but not smart enough to realize that Ambrose didn't just randomly push him from behind for the ending.
Yeah, the fact that Ambrose was pretty much on his, like, hands and knees on the mat when the ref saw and it was like, oh, I got shoved. Oh, it must be this guy who's on his hands and knees. That's who shoved me.
Yeah, it's definitely Ambrose. Definitely. The whole match, he was against the ref.
That ref was... I can't even say mildly. He was just a retard. Like, they... Alright, and this is going to be something that's going to be brought up later on, but I hate how refs are doing stuff lately. I've always had gripes with refs, but every once in a while, like, WWE will carry out a directive. It's like, all right, let's try our best to do a little bit better. And you see an uptick in the reffing. Right now, the refereeing is so stupid, like Looney Tunes stupid. And my bigger gripe is they debuted Elias against Dean, and like Miz came in, interfered, and then like the next week, Elias kind of alluded to getting back at The Miz. And I thought for sure Elias was going to interrupt in this match. It would have made sense. It would have carried on. You know, you could have had a three-way at the Great Balls of Fire. That made a lot of sense. Instead, no Elias. I don't get that. Why debut him against Dean and then have him directionless for the next 2 weeks?
I don't know, but I would rather have Dean be nowhere near any belt or TV ever, because his character is just dumb as a box of rocks, and his offense is terrible.
Dean, see, I hate to say it because I love Dean. I know what Dean's capable of. I love what Dean is capable of. I don't like the way Dean is presented. I don't like the fucking bounce off the goddamn rope bullshit. It's the worst thing in pro wrestling today.
At least he stopped doing it 10 times a match. Like, when he first did it, it was like every single second he was trying to do that thing.
I feel like Vince was like, haha, that's funny, keep doing it.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Like, it probably cracked Vince up or something, because it made no sense for him to do it as often. And I felt bad for the guys that had to sell it. Like, oh, my opponent, he's going towards the ropes. Oh, he's doing that. Oh, I'm going to stand here and wait for him to hit me. Like, it never made any sense.
No. And the dive to the ropes looks weak, too. That little push thing he does.
Dean needs to hit the gym. I feel that Dean could use a good 2 to 3 month vacation. I don't remember the last time he had any time off.
No, he hasn't. He's been working, like, nonstop, doing house shows and everything.
Like, the only time I can think he had time off is when Seth did the cinder block thing and, like, Dean went and made a film, perhaps?
Yeah, he did. I don't know what it was called, but he did something he started in. Yeah.
Like, that's the only time I can think that Dean had, quote-unquote, any time off, and he was just filming, and it was only, like, 2 weeks. I really think a 2 to 3 month rest, him hitting the fucking gym, coming back, he doesn't need to be, like, huge or bulked up or anything, but he was way more defined when he first came out in the Shield. Right? You remember that?
Yeah. I think he's just pretty much given up. He figures he'll get paid no matter what. He'll be on TV no matter what, so... Why bother?
I bet him and Cesaro must hang out a lot.
At least Cesaro stays in shape.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see Dean be a heel, but he's on the wrong show to be a heel. I also want to say this. I don't get... Right now, Raw has put themselves in a weird predicament. They have Braun Strowman, who was supposed to be their number one big bad guy, right? But then you have Elias Sampson, who's a big dude. You have Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt, who are large dudes. And then rumor has it that Cass is going to be turning heel. How is any one big guy supposed to get over when there's five fucking big guys?
I guess you have to do nonsensical promos and turn the ring into a picture of maggots to get over.
That is a way of doing it.
Or just be Braun Strowman and just be awesome.
Yo, know, as long as everybody just screams, "I'm not finished with you," like, if all five guys just take turns, like, being the shit out of Roman Reigns, that would work. I fear that eventually everybody's going to have their turn with Big Show, because basically it's like, hey, we got to make a big guy. Big Show, we need you to put this guy over.
Yep, it's his retirement year, right? So he's just going to do that until he's done.
Yeah, it used to be Big Show, Mark Henry, Taker, and Kane. And Taker obviously hasn't been doing it for the past few years, but before that he was the guy that would eventually put over a big baddie.
Yep. And Kane's doing his political stuff.
Yeah, and Mark Henry, I don't know what the hell Mark Henry's doing. He's not hurt or anything as far as I know.
He was on, was it Raw, like, maybe a month or two ago?
I'd say about 2 months ago, yeah. It's just that he's on so irregularly, and you never hear that he's hurt or anything.
I think they still have a spot. They just have a spot for him, I don't think. And then they're just... Every now and then they bring him up.
But, see, in the... Alright. There's no spot for him. And I agree that that's what they're thinking. But then I ask you this. Who the fuck is on Raw's midcard? Name Raw's midcard right now. Have fun with this.
Okay. Ambrose. The Miz. Elias Sampson now. Kalisto and Apollo Crews? Yeah, that's it.
Right. Dean and Miz technically are both upper card guys as well. Like, they're the upper mid card because they've main evented plenty.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Did you mention Goldust and R-Truth?
I did not.
So, that's the sad state of affairs. There's no clear-cut... it's an upper card and a lower card. There's really... The closest thing to the mid-card is Dean and Miz, but they're versatile enough to go in between the upper and mid. There's really no mid-card, though, to speak of, in my opinion.
Well, it's either there's no mid-card and there's no jobbers.
Right. It's kind of stupid how WWE has disregarded the mid-card, and they've done it on both brands. Both brands are guilty as hell of this shit. It's very frustrating. I mean,
that's why
are you going to tell me
people
Kevin
like,
Owens?
Like Jinder Mahal is, goes from losing every match to being champion.
Yeah. All right. SmackDown's mid-card. Who do you got? You got Ty Dillinger, Aiden English, Mojo Rawley. I'm running out of steam already.
That's more than Raw.
And that's the sad part. Like, Kevin Owens is their mid-card champion, but he just held the... He's the longest reigning red belt champion ever. I know ratings are going down, and I know that people want to say the product sucks. Yeah, the product does suck, but it also has a lot to do with people cutting the cord for cable. With that being said, if you want to make fans keep watching, you need to have other things other than main event card spots. Why was the Attitude Era so successful? Because even the shitty little feuds like with Kai and Ty and Val Venus was entertaining as fuck.
Yeah, I remember that. Choppy choppy, your pee pee. Yep.
Yeah. Like, remember, like, all those feuds kind of meant something back then.
I mean, you have 3 hours. You don't need the same guys every week either. That's the main thing.
Oh, I've been saying for months now that, I mean, SmackDown can do it a little easier than Raw, but with Raw has a huge enough roster where they just need to have longer matches and give talent. No talent should be on every single Raw of the month. They should have at least off 1 week. Champion, no champion, off 1 week, mandatory.
And it's not like ratings can drop any lower, so you might as well try something new.
Well, it would... I think it would serve to help prevent injuries. Wouldn't you think to have 1 week off a month where you don't do house shows, you don't do anything. You just sit on your ass at home. 1 week.
I would say maybe a month even.
Well, the problem with the month thing, and yes, every wrestler should have a month off at some point as well throughout the year. 1 month. And also if you do the 1 week of every month, that's actually a significant amount of fucking time, if you think about it. That's almost like, I don't know, probably about culminates in about 3 months of off time, maybe a little more.
Are they getting paid in this off time, though, or?
That's a hands-up question. I would say probably not.
Maybe merchandise sales, if they have merchandise, but other than that, nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them to get paid if they're doing nothing, but still, I don't know, you get paid though if you're injured, don't you?
I don't know, because they're independent contractors. I don't know what the deal is.
Wait, aren't they like on salary anyways? Like, don't they just sign for like, you know, 50 grand a year, you know, whatever the number may be? So does it really matter?
Maybe. Yeah, they might be salary. In that case, who cares whether they're on or off?
Right. I think they're salaried and just...
Bonuses, yeah, for pay-per-views and whatnot.
Right. I don't know. I think that would be the best way to keep everybody as healthy as humanly possible in a sport or entertainment, whatever the fuck you want to call it, where you're bound to get hurt. It's the nature of the beast, but at least you're resting your body up a little bit more.
Yeah. Or maybe just get away steroids.
I mean, I think HGH should be mandatory for WWE. That shit helps your body heal so much faster.
Yeah, that's
why not?
That's why Edge got caught with it. And Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, Orton, right?
Well, Orton's how you doing steroids too, but...
Who was it? God, it was the Signature Pharmacy. The best part about the Signature Pharmacy scandal was that it was from... It took place in Florida, but the whole thing took place in Albany, the investigator, DA, or whatever, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. I think there was, what, 9 or 11 guys that got suspended for that?
Yeah, there were quite a few. I would say probably 10.
It was an interesting time. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about the fuck Miz versus Dean? Because that match disappointed the shit out of me.
I just hope it's over between them, those two.
I went in with that match being the match I was most looking forward to because I thought for sure they would have Elias Sampson. I was like, all right, that'll breathe some new life into this tired feud. And then the ref acted like a joke, and I'm done with it. I'm beyond done with it.
They should have had Maryse get thrown out early in the match, not like the last 2 minutes of it.
Here's a question, though. Who feuds with Miz now? Who feuds with Dean?
Elias Sampson feuds with one of them. And then one of them can do nothing for a while? I don't know.
If Elias feuded with The Miz, who would be the face in that? The Miz would, right?
Depends how good Sampson can do with his songs about The Miz. I don't know.
I mean, Sampson has the greatest gimmick in pro wrestling, in my opinion. All he is a douchebag. He's Chad Kroger. That's all. He's playing the role of Chad Kroger, and it pisses everybody off. He has the easiest gimmick to get heat. And I think The Miz could do wonders for him, but usually The Miz is good at getting heat for himself. I don't know.
Miz is better as a heel. Yeah.
That's why I thought like a three-way thing would be great, because honestly, if Dean couldn't come out of that looking like a fucking $1 million, there was something seriously wrong if you have two heat magnets like Elias and Miz. Now, I don't know. I don't know who Miz would go against. Do you drop a Seth or
Finn Balor,
a Finn?
Maybe? Yeah. They have to, I'd imagine. I don't know what else they'd do.
It seems, I don't know. Actually, Miz versus Finn might not be too bad, although Miz cutting that promo against Finn however long ago was terrible. You remember that?
I don't even remember it. No.
I think it was on the kickoff show of the last Raw pay-per-view, whatever the fuck that was.
That's how you roadblock.
Roadblock.
Or whatever it was, End of the Road, or that was called. There's two of them this year. I don't know.
It was after WrestleMania and prior to Extreme Rules, whatever the fuck that one was. And on the kickoff show, Miz did a Miz TV, and Finn Balor was his guest, and it was terrible. That's all I remember.
The problem with Finn is he's terrible on the mic.
Yeah, he is. I don't even know what to do about Finn. I'm trying to actually find it. It's not Backlash. It would be before Backlash. And Payback. So it was on kickoff show of Payback that happened.
That's a good trivia question.
Yep. And if we can't remember it, I don't think many people would.
And it happened, what, a month ago?
Yeah, that's the truly sad part. Alright, moving on from that shit fest of a match, what was next? Was it the Sasha match, or was it the tag team match?
I think it was one of the women's matches, either the tag team or the kendo stick, I can't remember. It may have gone kendo stick, then tag team.
No, it went... Alright, I have my list up. I was like, I knew I had this up for some reason. It was Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox.
What a waste of talent that match was.
Tell me more.
I got... I want to see Alicia Fox do at least one more than, like, suplex.
I just... For as much talent as in that ring and Noam's haircut, I honestly thought this was going to be a decent match. Like, first of all, cool that Rich Swann won in his hometown, and they even brought that up on Talking or Raw Talk, where the fuck they call it.
Oh yeah, the curse is broken.
until later on when Randy loses in his hometown, but yeah, good for Rich.
Yeah. Good for him.
Now, I asked on the blog this past week, I thought it was interesting that Rich came out and then Sasha's music played, And usually when that's the case, usually the person whose music plays secondly is the bigger star. Would you consider Sasha Banks bigger star than Rich Swann?
Yes, because Sasha Banks is on Raw, Rich Swann's on the Dead Zone, that's 205 Live.
That's... And do you find this sad at all? Because to me, I think Rich Swann is one of the coolest guys. I think he's cool as shit. I love watching Rich. I think he has money written all over him.
The happy black guy dances a lot, the music change.
I mean, it would be cool as shit, though, if he could just come out just once to All Night Long.
They should get Lana Richie to do that WrestleMania.
Oh my god, I would fucking freak out. That'd be awesome as shit.
That'd be the best WrestleMania ever.
That would be Rusev in a tank awesome.
Yes, it would.
By the way, that's my standard of awesome. I don't know if any entrance... I have three entrances. I have Rusev in a tank, I have Triple H Terminator ridiculousness, and I have Triple H coming out to Lemmy being, like, tanked.
You don't count Sting with the Asian people behind him as a big entrance?
I don't understand why Sting was with Asians. I never understood that. It never made... It was cool. I liked watching it, but it didn't make any sense.
Or Randy Orton out of giant sperm.
Oh, yeah, that was... You know, Bray Wyatt with the scarecrows was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Everything else wasn't. You know what's the best interest for me? WrestleMania 3, is that what it was? With the little carts?
With the carts, yeah. Well, yeah, shit, did they classic. Use the carts for people this year?
They did, but they didn't show it, though.
For the Andre the Giant thing, right?
Yeah.
We saw a bunch. It was like, the big guys fuck did Big Show make it down there already?
He's fast for a big guy.
That he is. God, who the fuck won? Rich won the match.
Rich won the match, yep.
Is there a rhyme and reason to keep this feud going? I mean, I would like to see the feud keep going, honestly.
Sasha, I think, should be the next in line for Alexa Bliss to beat. And Rich and Norm Dark can do what they want on 205 Live. No one's going to see it.
Nobody is going to see it. Alright, here's the thing with 205. Last time I saw it, I really liked everything that was happening. That was probably a good 10 weeks ago. I just don't watch 205. I think it's a really well-booked show. I think NXT is a really well-booked show. I just don't watch it consistently enough because, especially with 205, there's only one belt. They don't have anything else to work towards. It kind of defeats the purpose in a way, don't you feel?
205 needs to have actual cruiserweight matches and not just like Raw type matches with cruiserweights. But yeah, having on the belt would be good, but they only have like 8 guys on TV, so it's not really, worth it.
I wouldn't even mind them having like a cruiserweight TV title. Why not?
Or a 6 like, man?
No 6 man. Unless we're bringing back, shit, what was the name of that group with Evan Courageous on WCW? Like
3 Count.
Band? 3 Count, yes. If we can bring back 3 Count, then yes. I want to see Tony Nese start getting more time. I think Tony Nese is like the total package. And
Lex Luger?
Maybe he can't talk on the mic, but I think he's amazing in rings.
So if they just had him do his peck dance, he'd be over, probably.
Chris Masters would be a little upset.
That's true. Yeah.
So yeah, you think Sasha should get the next shot at Bliss. Which, I mean, it makes sense.
Until we have Nia Jax fighter, which hopefully we never.
Alright, so it seems like they just dropped that whole storyline to the point where, I don't know, did you see the whole thing that Nia posted on Twitter?
Well, they had her on the pre-show, but I didn't listen to her. So I don't know what she said.
I didn't either.
And I didn't see Twitter either, so I don't know.
She basically said something to the extent of, it's nice that all the women on SmackDown get used.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually. I felt very good for her, because they just finally booked her in something interesting, and then to just, for, you know, they kind of blew it off.
Yeah, I thought she'd be involved in the match somehow, with Bayley, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm looking for the goddamn thing, but where that will be, actually, if I just type in, no, that's not gonna work. I don't know. Does Alicia Fox ever go anywhere at this point? Like, is she just doomed for nothingness?
Unfortunately, probably. She'll be like the enhancement talent for the women, I guess. I like her. I always thought she was underrated.
Yeah. See, that's my issue. I think she's a really good looking, like, she's not hot, but she's pretty good looking. I find her hot. And I think she's really good in the ring, and she takes the ball with any gimmick that they give her, and she goes 100% with it. That's more than I can say for Charlotte, who is the most overrated female talent we've had since...
Charlotte was born with the gimmick they gave her.
But...
You're Rick Flair's daughter. I can do that.
Yeah, but here's her emotional range is... Talk normal. Now I'm going to pretend to be mad, so I'm going to raise my voice 3 octaves. That's not cutting a fucking promo.
It is. If there's got to be somebody.
Right. Like, you have to elicit some kind of emotion, not just raising your voice. I found the tweet, by the way. Nia Jax said, "Wow, first ever Money in the Bank women's ladder match. Amazing how SmackDown Live uses their entire women roster every Tuesday." That's a good fucking tweet, man.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And she's right. Like, how the fuck does SmackDown manage to get most of their women on at least every other week? But Raw, 3 hours, sometimes you're lucky to get more than one woman segment. And she's not always good. Like, this is your life.
Tamina should go to SmackDown and make the female smell and SWAT team with Nia Jax should go to SmackDown and team with Tamina to be a female smell and SWAT team.
I'd be cool with that.
And get Jim Cornette back too to manage him.
Cornette. Oh shit. I would be fine with trading Nia and getting Eva Marie and actually keeping Eva Marie. I liked Eva Marie.
Isn't she actually? Is she gone? Is she still there?
All that I know is that rumor has it that her contract is not being renewed. So they're probably just not going to put her on TV again.
What about the blonde Eva Marie? I forgot her name.
Wait, there's a blonde Eva Marie?
Was it Mandy Rose, I think her name was?
Oh, the chick from Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about her?
She's pretty much blonde Eva Marie. So would you rather have her on the roster? Or?
I mean, I would like to just see them in a bra and panties match. That's what I want.
Maybe
but,
if Vince Russo comes back.
Vince Russo. We hardly knew ye. God, he was something.
If he was still there, what do you think the Kendo stick kind of pull match would have been?
It would have been what I predicted on the pre-show preview, whatever, which I said I want Alexa to start spanking Bayley with the kendo stick. That's what I wanted to see. I think that's what all the male demographic really wanted to see, was her to spank her. Why we didn't get spanking with the kendo stick, I'll never know. Steve Blackman was probably at home crying a little bit.
She did mention Steve Blackman too, Bayley.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, I messaged Carrie to make fun of Eric. And then I wished Carrie a happy birthday today and sent her a picture of Steve Blackman because it just felt appropriate.
That is. That's a good birthday card. I was really hoping the network did the Steve Blackman bounty hunter show? Is that what was the options were at one time?
Yes. Yes, it was. And the thing is, there's so many cool ideas for WWE original programming, and then they come back with the shittiest stuff.
They should have just followed New Jack around for a year.
Oh my god. If they would have done, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter with New Jack, take money from me. Just
what if New Jack and Blackman were partners?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to say about that. That's exhilarating as fuck to me. I'd watch that. I would gladly pay $30 for that.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Maybe 15.
To see New Jack again? Fuck yeah, I'd pay 30. Of course, I'm probably like the only person that really wants to see New Jack again, but I don't give a fuck. I love that man.
He had some good matches. He was pretty crazy.
I wouldn't necessarily ever say he's had a good match, but he's been in some of the more interesting matches that I've seen. Still loved him.
Interesting's better, probably, yeah.
Alright, moving along, we had, we were just talking about the bitches match. Very short match, wasn't it? Or did I just get lost?
No, it was like 2 minutes. Which makes you question, why is it even on the show?
Do you think Bailey's injured? That's been my guess. Bailey was treated like shit this whole build-up. The past 4 weeks, she never got over on Bliss. Is it possible she's hurt?
I think Bliss is just that much better.
I agree that Bliss is on a whole other, not even a whole other level, like 3 levels above Bailey.
She's on the Neville level.
She may even eventually be on the A double level. But for now, the Neville level works. Which I guess the Neville level should be higher than the A double level.
He did beat him.
Right.
I think Bailey was never that good, but the way they did storylines for her in NXT made everybody get emotionally invested in her. And on Raw, it's like, it's not there.
All right. You know, you just kind of alluded to it. NXT finds ways to hide flaws of the shortcomings of their performers. Why doesn't Raw or SmackDown take the time to try their best to hide the flaws?
I have no idea. Because it'd be a better product.
I mean, the only person that they hide flaws is with Roman Reigns by keeping him wearing a shirt. Because that man without a shirt has a flabby-ass fucking gut, and that's why they never show that shit.
I didn't know that.
Yep, these are facts.
That's why I think they should have Paul Heyman in charge of booking forever. Because he did gold in ECW with, like, talent that should not have been that good.
Right. Balls Mahoney, for instance, is not a great wrestler, but he was so entertaining to me. New Jack. I mean, for fuck's sakes, New Jack had a great career. Sandman was one of their top guys, and Sandman is not a good wrestler.
He had a great entrance, so.
He had a great entrance, had a great gimmick, and used the fucking Singapore cane. I hate calling it a kendo stick.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking bothers me. You know.
And one of the best feuds ever happened in ECW between Raven and Dreamer.
There was a picture on WWE.com of, like, the most hardcore or extreme. They said extreme. And, like, the cover picture was Tommy Dreamer, but his hair did not look right. I was like, is that Tommy Dreamer? I had to really focus on his face. I don't know. If I can find the picture, I'll send it to you on here because it looks really weird.
Was it, like, first starting out Tommy Dreamer or...
I think it had to be because it just didn't look right to me.
Did he have suspenders on?
What?
Did he have suspenders on? Didn't he wear suspenders for a bit when he first started?
He did wear suspenders. No, his hair looked really wild, I guess would be the way to put it. I'm looking for it right now while we're chit-chatting here. I'm sure I can find it.
Did they include the crucifixion as one of the most hardcore angles?
It wasn't an angle, it was just the most hardcore guy, basically.
So it was like probably Mick Foley number one.
It wasn't even a list, it was just random people. Like, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense, to be perfectly honest. But, yeah. How is this possible? I mean, it was their cover story, and now I am slogging through shit on WWE.com.
They want everyone to forget about Extreme Rules already.
That's not the worst idea that they've ever had.
I mean, yeah.
They also did a cool photo thing with, it was Bliss, Emma, Nia, and Maryse in, like, quote-unquote, hardcore or extreme pictures, but it's not the cool kind of extreme hardcore pics that we wanted to see.
It was like, Kawanawanalea dancing top of the arena.
No, but Emma still looked sexy as fuck, so...
Yeah, what happened? Is she injured again?
She is hurt, but she's not out as long as they initially feared.
That's good.
Yeah, so...
Get her and Dana Brooke back together.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Did you see the news that Alexa Bliss is going to be playing Tekken 7 against people at some Comic-Con?
No, I did not.
I hope she's really good at it and just destroys people and talks smack to them the whole time.
That would be awesome. Wow, that's interesting to say the fucking least. I
forgot where it was, but yeah, I saw that and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
I wouldn't be able to focus on video games.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, all the nerds would be there and, like, next to a hot chick, and they're like, I don't know what to do.
I would be totally confused on what to do. I mean, I'm kind of just sitting here thinking about it now, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that sounds awesome.
Isn't it?
Alright, I found the gallery. Now the question is, where is the picture? I'm working on this. What match are we talking about? Are we talking about the kendo stick still?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think we're done with that, though, because it was a two-minute match, so...
Yeah, I didn't quite understand... It didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Like, if it's going to be 2 minutes, why have it on a pay-per-view? Or whatever they call these things now.
I don't know. It never... The thing never clicked for me in any capacity.
I never got why I had to be in a pool to begin with. Just have him in the ring. Just have him fight over it in the ring. Give him both kendo sticks. Who cares?
Right. Like, that's what we want to see, is we want to see stuff like that. And... I don't know. They really just dropped the
ball. How dumb was Bayley? Like, at the beginning, Alexa's like, go ahead, go get it. And she's like, oh, okay.
Right. Bayley has been done wrong so bad.
She's like Sting, but worse.
Oh, God. That's a horrible and fantastic
Sting
analogy.
Believed everybody. They turned out.
Poor Sting. Oh, God. When we did our top 10 wrestlers thing for the 50th, I was the only person that had Sting. And I know it's because I watched TNA throughout most of his run, and he was very important to TNA as he was to WCW. But, wow, there was, like, no love for Sting.
What sucks for WCW people is they couldn't get over unless they were in NWO, and the only guys that did that were already established. So only Sting, DDP, and Goldberg got over.
Right, I was just going to say, DDP, man, he's like, him and Goldberg are the guys that somehow did it. And Benoit and Booker T to other extents, I would say.
Yeah, Benoit also had the ECW thing going for him.
And he also had the Horsemen.
Right, which was, you know, neutered them too, but it was still the Horsemen.
Gosh, I loved that version of the Horsemen with fucking AA and Benoit and Malenko.
Yeah.
That actually may have been my favorite Four Horsemen.
I mean, the original is the best, but...
I don't know. Maybe it is the best, but I preferred this other one because I never felt that... Who was it? It was Tully and Ole, right? And
yeah.
Flair and Anderson,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I never thought that Tully had that much, I don't even know what you want to call it, personality?
He did. He's just overshadowed by Flair.
Oh, like, that's hard to do.
I know, right?
I'm getting this picture ready for you so you can see the wild hair. Like, I refuse to give up and go to the next segment until you see this wild hair.
I cannot wait.
You'll understand why it was a tad confusing. Wrong thing? I have way too many folders, but here we go. Alright, sending Steve the picture of Dreamer's wild hair.
Okay, I got the little notification here. Oh my god.
Am I right?
I don't know him having hair like that.
It was usually like that slicked back look for when he was in the suspenders. I don't remember that hairstyle for Tommy Dreamer.
That was like later Tommy Dreamer, too.
Yeah, because his arms are a little more built.
Yeah. Yeah, I never seen him. I don't know.
Ain't that weird that they chose that picture for the cover of that gallery?
Yeah, that is pretty strange.
I was so confused by it. Anyway, we can move on now. Now that I finally, you know, got the picture across, let's move on to the Cesaro versus Hardy Boys match in a cage match that the Hardy Boys picked, but yet it never once, ever in the history of ever, seemed like it was to their advantage to have chosen that match. Like, a ladder match made sense for the Hardy Boys to choose, not a cage match against two big brawlers.
No one ever said they were smart.
With that being said, though, I thought this was one of the better matches of the night.
Like, that's real tough. It could have been me, you, and Russ in a match. Maybe one of the best matches of the night.
Sad but true. We would have put on a great show.
I would bleed.
I would lay in the corner grabbing the rope, pretending I was Rick Martel in a Royal Rumble.
There you go.
That'd be my contribution to the match. Did you like the whole stipulation that you could actually escape the cage as opposed to going, like, you could go through the door or over the top?
It felt like it was a last minute addition. Like, I didn't know about it at all until, like, the match started. Like, oh, by the way, you can't win by pinfall or submission.
It felt very tacked on, like, oh, by the way, this is how we booked it, so we want to make sure that you guys know.
And then I think they didn't make it clear that once you're out, if you go back in, you're no longer considered out of the cage.
I think Russ suggested that, and I probably missed it because, quite frankly, I don't know. I wasn't fully paying attention at all times, as usual. So Russ seemed a little agitated by that, so I'm going to say yes, that they probably mentioned that. In the history of ever, it's never made sense to be the first person out of the ring because then your partner gets double-teamed.
Unless it's Steiner's against Money, Inc.
Money, Inc. You and I are like the only two people that remember that fucking match on Raw.
Yeah, ended with, was it Rick on the cage blocking a guy? One of the Money, Inc. guys?
Yeah.
That's how it should have ended.
It was actually one of the best tag team steel cage matches I've ever seen. And it wasn't even like a pay-per-view. It was just a Raw match.
That's like the only way to end that match. Like, not this Hardy Boys crap, but he comes back in and he kills himself somehow, but not kills the guys he hit with a move.
I also didn't see the point in... I like Cesaro. I'm a huge fan of that tag team. But here's the problem. If you're turning Cass heel, you're breaking up another face tag team. You've already broken up Golden Truth. All you have left is the Hardy Boys as a face team, and you have the Revival who needs to get over, and you have Gallows and Anderson who should still be involved somehow. So you have three heel teams, one of which is the champion, and am I wrong in saying that's kind of a fucked up situation?
Well, the other question is, what's going on with the gimmick from TNA? Because once they get that team's done.
Oh God. Well, WWE is still playing coy, saying that they don't. They're not.
I hope they don't want it. I hope that lawsuit that Hardys have found out is not going to happen because TNA has documents saying that it's their gimmick, and they kill it.
I'm all for never seeing a broken gimmick. I'm fine with it. I actually thought, though, that this match was going to lead to the broken gimmick.
That's what it seems like, yeah. Because Jeff cost him the match.
You know what's funny is that for months now, well, since Mania at the very least, Russ has done nothing but sing the praises of the broken gimmick, and I swear to God he's probably watched like two whole matches or segments with those guys.
Well, that's because he's Russ. He's a bit slow.
Yeah, that's one nice way of putting it.
He means well.
he has good intentions. But, yeah. I mean, I watched pretty much every Hardy Boys segment since the broken gimmick, because I got back into TNA for a bit. And now I've stopped, but I was back into it for a bit. And at first it had some mild intrigue, and then they just completely killed it like any other, like WWE would do.
And they will again if they get a chance.
There's no such thing as subtlety or milking something in a slow or medium pace. It's always, oh, we caught fire. Let's milk it really fast, really dry.
Yeah pretty much.
Why do that? Why, like,
what? I don't think they trust the fans' intelligence to be able to follow stuff from within like 6 months, maybe 3 months at a time.
3 minutes at a time? My God, how many times have we been told that something was historical or first time ever, Steve?
That's true. All those recaps, too.
Oh, my God.
That's another thing. Do we need a recap of the match that's about to happen once The Miz is in the ring?
I have no idea.
The pre-show exists to recap the feud. You don't need to recap the feud during the pay-per-view.
You would think that would be the case, but they don't seem to agree with you.
They also feel you'd have ads for other brands during the pay-per-view also, so they're pretty stupid.
It's an illogical thing. It baffles the mind. Where do you see the tag team division going for the next month?
On ice.
Like Disney?
Yes. They're going to become a skating show.
I don't know. I'd be intrigued by that.
It'd be different. I don't know what they can do.
I don't know. I'd be fine with a roller derby with WWE wrestlers.
That would be so awesome.
See, this is the stuff, though, that they could be doing on the network. I swear to God, and I think I've already told you this, but why not do a strongman competition with, like, your 10 strongest guys?
Or do, like, what was it called? Network Stars, whatever it was called, back in the 80s, 70s, 80s.
Oh, yeah, Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah, have that with, like, the NXT people who are on TV.
Sure.
Or American Gladiators.
Just don't do Brawl for it all.
No. You don't want anyone to get injured and knocked out.
They could do game shows even, though. Like, maybe not Family Feud, but something along that line. You could do that weekly. There's so many things that they could be doing because they have so many people with huge personalities.
It should be something for the people who are not on NXT yet to get out there and have people see them before they're
Breaking
on NXT.
Breaking Ground was such a good series that lasted, I think, 8 episodes.
Yeah, that was good.
That show got me behind Baron Corbin 110%. That show got me interested in Tino Sabatelli, who still looks the same and hasn't really improved that much in the ring.
Yeah.
But it got me intrigued. Like, I kind of started caring about certain people.
Like Adam Rose? Layer. How'd that work out for you?
Poor Adam. But even somebody like Apollo, like, I was so happy for him, like, when he got called up, despite me not agreeing with it. And I can't say that I was wrong, but I was happy for him watching it.
They are really good at making documentary type stuff, and they just don't do enough of it.
Right? Why? And where the fuck is Legends House season 2?
Oh my God, that was so good.
There, I know people who are not fans of wrestling that had the network just for Legends House.
Just get Hacksaw back on it. I don't care who the other Legends are.
Oh my god. I was going to say bring Piper back, and I was like, oh.
If they can do that, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would be something. How many people were on it? 10?
Less than that, wasn't it?
Maybe 8.
It was Teddy Atlas, Hacksaw, The Fink, Jimmy Hart, Mean Gene, and Hoobly Jim.
Patterson. So at least 8.
Yeah, at least 8.
All right. If you could pick 8 guys, Steve, this is way more entertaining than this bullshit pay-per-view. If you could pick 8 guys who are actually alive to be in Legends House, who would you pick?
Animal from Legion of Doom.
All right.
Hacksaw. I'd put Hacksaw on there again. I like Hacksaw. And he's local, you know.
Hacksaw's a lovable dude.
Yeah, people say he's like the greatest guy ever. Let's see. How are you defining legend?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'd be like Hillbilly Jim, really a legend?
I'd be like Van Damme, I guess.
Are we just including him for the weed smoking?
I like Van Damme. He's like one of my favorite wrestlers.
Three-headed shark tech.
I would have put him on the top 10 probably if I could, if I was on that show. Actually, I wouldn't have, but he'd be top 15 probably. Who else did I? Let's see, Bulldog's dead. Dynamite Kid maybe, just because he's an asshole.
Oh my god, he is such an asshole. Wait, if you're gonna go for assholes, would you consider Cornette?
Yeah, why not?
I think, actually, quite frankly, I would probably start right off with Cornette, Paul Heyman, and Eric Bischoff.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, that alone could be very interesting because, and I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way, but Paul Heyman's very much a Jewish guy, and I think he would interact with people in a very interesting way. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, I don't mean that in any sort of derogatory way, but, you know, that's how Paul is, and I think it'd be very fucking fascinating.
The thing is, how much of what you see of Paul is the act he puts on, and how much is actually Paul Heyman? Like, I think he's always in Paul Heyman mode.
Yeah, I think Paul Heyman doesn't necessarily have an off button. He probably is one of those guys that's living his normal personality, but on TV, he just amplifies it slightly.
Yeah, probably.
And that's, you know, when people are at their best. Who else you got? You got, I know Ric Flair at one point was rumored, and I don't want to see Ric Flair.
Maybe Arn Anderson?
Oh, God, Arn.
Is Abdul the Butcher still alive?
Is he?
I don't know. I think he's close to death if he's not. Hardy Race, maybe, if he survives his little scare going on.
Yeah. Vader, I think, would be an interesting guy.
Vader would be, yeah. Talk about Boy Meets World.
Oh, Boy Meets World. That was so cool.
I would say George Steele, but he just died, didn't he?
Yeah, George did recently die.
Jake.
If you can get Jake Hall and DDP.
Just have DDP's house.
Yeah.
You can have Nash stop by 6.
Can we just have NWO house?
Oh, they don't. That'd be a big house if you do all the members.
Hey, at least Virgil would actually have a house.
Scott Norton, Buff Bagwell.
Oh, God. That would be sweet. I mean, Macho Man's no longer with us, but by and large, most of the NWO is still alive.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Now, here's an even more depressing question. If we did an ECW Legends House.
Dreamer, Raven, Van Damme, Taz.
Sabu.
Jerry Lynn, Steve Corino.
New Jack.
Mikey Whipwreck. Saturn.
And Paul Heyman.
If he's still alive. Paul Heyman.
Saturn is still alive. That's 10 right there. I think
Beulah, Francine, Shane Douglas.
Oh, Beulah. The Dudley Boys, I think, would crack me
Dudley
up
Boys?
A lot.
Rhino?
Rhino is so... Alright, that's...
New Jack.
You know, we were talking about catching lightning in a bottle. What the fuck? Heath Slater could be huge in the mid-card right now.
Oh, yeah. So would Rhino. Yeah. It should be a tag team. They're a tag team, right? Still?
I guess. Kind of. Have they had a match other than the tag team turmoil match?
No.
That's a problem, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so, too. Did you see the household footage of Rhino trying to dance?
No.
It's awesome. Yeah, look it up.
Alright. Was it recent?
I just saw it maybe last week.
Okay.
For some reason, it was like Slater, Rhino, R-Truth, and Curtis Axel in the ring.
Curtis fucking Axel. That's... There's a guy who I think has... He could be a very good tag team wrestler. I don't think he's ever meant to be a singles star, but...
He'd be a good tag team, yeah. The X-Man.
Yeah. Alright.
Could be New Demolition. Someone can be smashed and he can be the X-Man.
Ooh. Could Rusev be Crush?
He should be.
Oh, gosh. Wait. Is X and Smash are still alive, right?
They are both still alive, but they'll never be on WWE TV, probably.
Ever, right.
Yeah, the whole lawsuit thing is just...
Gotcha. Alright, we got two matches left. Let's tackle them. We got the Neville versus Aries match. I have another huge gripe, but once again, you first.
I want to guess your gripe is the submission outside the ring not counting?
Basically, that and why does the rope break a submission? You can't get DQ'd in a submission match. The only way the match ends is via submission, so there should be no DQ, no rope break, no counting.
See, did the NFL also count at one point, too?
Yes, like... I don't get it. It's a submission match. Am I wrong in saying that's the only way the match is supposed to end is via... It's like an I Quit match.
Right. It's like a no DQ match where a guy's in submission hold and grabs a rope and they break it. I want to break it. It's no DQ. What are you going to do?
Right. You're not going to end the match. You're just going, fine, let him count to 25. That's fine. You're not going to get DQ'd.
Yeah.
So, as much as I loved the match, I thought the action was good. But it didn't make any sense. The ref killed that fucking match. And I don't blame the ref in the sense that, you know, he's probably just doing what he was told. But whoever told him to do that should be fired.
Yeah, you can't be like, hey, it's a mission match, but you're going to see it outside the ring, so it doesn't count. Or make the rules clear to everybody.
Right. They should have just said it was an I Quit match. I think that would have added a little more drama to it as well.
It had to be a lot longer, though.
That's fine. I mean, as it was, Bliss and fucking Bayley got 3 minutes, so...
That's true.
They had time.
They did end 50 minutes early.
Right. The in-ring action was very good. I loved the red arrow at the end. I liked the whole working on, you know, body parts thing. I liked a lot of the match. But the ref killed the flow of it so much that I just couldn't get into it. How'd you feel?
Same way. They need to... I mean, again, they need to make sure the rules are known to everybody. And not just be like, it's a submission match, and then say, well, it's outside the ring, it doesn't count. I didn't get the ending, though, at the end where Aries was smiling for some reason.
Yeah. Do you think WWE made a huge mistake in having this feud go on as long as it did without ever giving Aries the win? Like, my perspective is that... Should Aries have had to work his way towards the top, not start right off against the champ? Because there's only one way to go. You go down.
Yeah.
Should it?
Yeah, but, I mean, they had no one else.
I mean, it's fair to guess that Tozawa is going to be the next in line.
I would say Cedric Alexander.
I'm fine with that as well.
I think Alexander should be a main event, main roster guy.
That's the thing, though. I like probably 12 of the cruiserweight guys. There's really not many guys that I don't like, as a matter of fact, on 205.
Yeah, they got good guys. It's just they don't do anything with them. They have the same five people on TV all the time.
Who do you want to see feud with Aries?
It's going to be Perkins, probably. Immediately.
I agree, and I don't want
it. No, I don't either. Perkins should go away. Tozawa would be good.
I think Kendrick. Kendrick and Aries would be fucking money.
That'd be good, too, yeah.
But I almost kind of want that for the belt.
They'd be a tag team, too, if you have a tag team cruiserweight thing. Two heels.
Yeah. Well, that's another question. Should Aries turn heel at some point this year?
He's a better heel than a face.
Everything about him screams heel.
He's one of those natural assholes that should be a heel.
Let's never forget, he put his junk in some lady's face.
Because she got his weight wrong. Yep.
Was it Kristen?
It was. Yeah, she was doing the intro when she got his weight wrong, I think, and he put his junk right in the face.
Loved that. I watched that so many times, and god damn it, he was a stud for doing that.
Yeah, so I mean, he's definitely a natural heel. So he needs to be a heel, which leaves Tozawa and I don't know who else they have in his face. Jack Gallagher?
Gallagher. They have Cedric. They have Rich.
Oh, yeah, Rich Swann. Aries, maybe. That'd be good.
You could basically throw any combination of any two guys. As a matter of fact, I would love if 205 just said, fuck this heel-face dynamic, just be yourself dynamic instead.
They need to get Grand Metalik back, too.
Didn't he get hurt?
Oh, did he?
Or,
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No, it was Lince Dorado.
He was good, too. I like him.
Yeah. And Tajiri is no longer with them.
He got injured. Is he done?
He got injured, and then he came back for, like, one night, and then he just got released.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
He's another one for Legends House, ECW.
Oh my god, Tajiri would be sweet.
I would put Cyrus in there too, if he's still around.
Yeah, I'm all for Cyrus. And this is back-to-back podcast that Cyrus has been mentioned.
That's awesome.
That's cool as shit. I brought him up on Saturday or Friday when we did the podcast, when we were talking about Edge. Because he's the one that gave Edge the idea to name himself Edge after listening to our radio station here.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. Would you be in favor of a 205 pay-per-view?
Yeah. As long as they give them maybe 15, 20 minutes piece and let them do what they want and not have them just do a Raw match.
Like, let them work a style that they're comfortable with that can put on a good
show. Like he did in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right. I think the Cruiserweight Classic should be a yearly thing and whoever wins it becomes number one contender.
That'd be good, yeah. I just didn't like, was it Zack Sabre Jr., so he's the best Cruiserweight in the world? I didn't like his matches.
I fully admit I haven't watched hardly any of the Cruiserweight Classics, and I didn't watch hardly any of the UK tournament. I'm kind of dropping the ball.
Are you going to watch the Mae Young Classic?
I didn't know it was called the Mae Young Classic until last night. Did you?
Yeah, they announced it probably a month ago.
God damn it. Yeah, I didn't know. Are they going to have the two new Asian chicks that they signed?
I think they have.
For that?
I think they have to.
Would make sense.
But no elbow drop.
Wait. the elbow drop. Well, Bailey's so good at it. We didn't get a chance to make fun of the Great Balls of Fire promo. I thought it was amazingly silly. Did you like it at all?
I thought it was a fitting promo for a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire. And by that, I mean ridiculous.
At what point did somebody say, let's call a pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire as long as we can get the rights to the song? Like, At what point did somebody say that and didn't get immediately laughed out of the room?
Vince.
I want to know how that
Vince
meeting
must like
went.
That song. I don't know.
I wonder if Vince like stands in the mirror nude and like jostles his balls and sings Great Balls of Fire or something.
It's,
I could see him doing that.
It's possible. I mean, the other side's a grapefruits.
I would... honestly, if you could spend just one full day with Vince, just being Vince, you would take that opportunity, right? Just to like try to get to know the guy.
You can't pass that up.
And you just can't sneeze. Because he hates sneezing, apparently.
I mean, no one likes sneezing, do they, really? I mean...
nobody likes sneezing, but like he actually like has a hate-on for people who sneeze.
That's how people...
it's very weird.
That's how Yabusa pushes.
Oh, so that... Cesaro must have allergies.
He would sneeze a lot, yeah.
Can't grasp that brass ring.
Well, you can't, because of these cupping nose when you sneeze. I mean...
right. All right. We covered the hell out of that match. Let's move on to the final match. The first time ever. Historic. Never before done match. Although in 2007 at Vengeance, there was a... what the fuck was it? It was something for the WWE... like Chase for the Championship or something. It had Orton, Foley, Cena, Lashley... and I can't remember who else. One other person. Oh, King Booker. So it was a five-way match, but it was for the belt, not number one contendership. So.
It also wasn't called Fatal Five Way.
Right. So this was first time ever. I just watched this match. I just finished it when you came on Skype, because I had fallen asleep, as I had mentioned. You also mentioned
they tend to do that with shitty match reviews.
Is it? I don't know. Give me your observations, because I have a few questions.
First of all, it needs to be even nation style. Instead of this one pinfall win crap.
What? Isn't there skill in being the first person to get a pinfall? Come on, Steve.
Pinfall or submission.
Come
but no
on,
DQ.
Man. There takes a lot of skill being that first person. That shows how dominant you
it
are.
It does. You beat five guys in one shot. I don't like how they do the, you get one move in and then like three guys outside the ring doing nothing for like 10 minutes.
Lots of rest periods, yeah.
The ending I thought was good. The last maybe 2 minutes of the match were really good. I don't get why Finn Balor was stopping everybody and they all tried coming in that same way. It's like there's four sides to the ring. Why come in that we're finished?
That's true, yes. Alright, my first question is in regards to Bray Wyatt. I'm going to say this, I feel over the past like 3 months, maybe even a little longer, something's clicked in Bray's head and he finally gets it. He gets how to do a match. Like, his match flow is significantly improved over the past few months. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Not counting the House of Horrors match.
It might help not being with Randy Orton the whole time. Because Orton tends to be lazy.
If you exclude his Orton matches in totality, I would say Bray may be the most improved wrestler on the roster so far this year.
Yeah.
Like, his psychology, his movement... his moveset, he just seems to have a little bit more of a purpose. It seems, I don't know, he used to wrestle a very lazy style, and now it seems like it has a little more purpose.
I think
that's my observation.
I think he's lost some weight. Maybe that helped him in the ring. I don't know.
I agree. I thought during the match, here's a dream match for me, and it's not a dream match for anybody else, but... Bray Wyatt and Samoa Joe versus Kevin Owens and Rusev. I want to see that match in the worst way because KO and Rusev work really good together as a team, and now come find out Bray and Joe work decent as a team.
I wouldn't say it's a dream match, but it'd be a good match probably on a house show or something.
Listen, I have dreams, and it's a dream match for me.
Sure. So, whatever.
I also dream a lot that I'm friends with Stephanie and Triple H for some reason.
That would be awesome.
Like, Stephanie's always so nice to me in dreams. I've never understood why. Like, I talk to her a little bit more in Triple H, but Triple H is usually cool about shit. But yeah, usually I just chill out, talk with Stephanie. I don't know. I have weird dreams.
If only that were true.
Raylene has a lot of dreams about CM Punk. So
yeah,
there's that. My second question is, do you think Seth Rollins... he seemed like an afterthought this match. Wouldn't you agree?
He did some cool stuff, though. But yeah, I wasn't really focused on him at all. It was mostly focused on Finn and everybody else.
I actually felt that Roman and Seth got the least amount of focus, although Roman got a lot more focused the latter quarter of the match. But Seth, I don't think, really ever had much focus. He had that one big spot where he jumped through, who was it, Bray?
On the table. Yeah, it was Bray outside.
Yeah. Which, honestly, I wasn't sure if Seth had hurt his knee or not on that.
Selling it like he did.
I guess he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, just the way he landed, like, his knee hit the table, I was like, oh, that could have really hurt, but if he had a brace on, maybe it wouldn't have.
I assume he has, like, braces on each knee now, doesn't he?
He's probably pulling an Austin underneath those pants, yeah. Do you think Samoa Joe... like, let's face it, Samoa Joe has been booked like shit. He's probably been the worst booked person that made it to the main roster in a long while, as far as, like, we all agree, Apollo Crews was booked poorly, but he's not fucking Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is, like, a legit
you don't show up
heavyweight
as Triple H's destroyer and not be on WrestleMania.
Right. So, is this a good thing for Samoa Joe to have won it? Because we all know he's not going to beat Brock.
Let's not forget Jinder Mahal. If
true.
He can do it, anyone can win the belt.
I'm looking forward to the match. I actually wanted this to be a WrestleMania match. Like, it's not that I'm upset this match. I'm upset because I feel that Joe just needs more building up on the main roster before this.
He has 2 weeks to do it. Or, no, 4 weeks? No, yeah, 4 weeks.
Four
three?
Weeks,
I don't
probably.
Know. Two or three, I don't know. He has a month. Let's say a month to do it.
probably 4 weeks, so we can have, in 2 weeks, we have the Money in the Bank, then 2 more weeks we have fucking... I'm sick of doing pay-per-views so frequently. I really am.
If they were better quality, it'd be different.
Can you really do better quality, though, that frequently?
No. Which is why 3-hour Raws are terrible, too.
If it was 2-hour Raw, 2-hour SmackDown, maybe every three... No, no, still... Yeah, I guess every 3 weeks have a pay-per-view, so just keep alternating between... That gives 6 weeks of build-up.
That's better.
I think that could work a little bit better. And then if you also intersperse it with, you know, like the Cruiserweight Classic, do a UK-only... Give NXT its... Oh, like, fuck it. NXT doesn't need to be the fucking sideshow on Saturdays. Give NXT a 3-hour Sunday night pay-per-view.
They can't do that now. There's not enough people. I don't think.
Bullshit, man.
Unless you are Authors of Pain and Heavy Machinery have like a 2-out-of-3 falls match or something.
I mean, granted, now with Ciampa out, it does hurt, but still, I mean, look at the people that weren't on the
match. What do you do? Velveteen Dream have a match?
Who?
The Velveteen Dream, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Clark, I think
yeah.
His name is. I mean, you got Ono, you got CN, you got Drew McIntyre. I know I'm missing at least one other person.
Blake and Murphy? One of those two, at least.
Blake and... Yeah. Oni Lorcan. I'm such a huge fan of Oni Lorcan. So, you could put on a 3-hour show. I mean, granted, it might not be up to the same standards, but I don't see why not. You could have added any 4 of those guys and had 2 more matches over the course of 45 minutes and made that into a 3-hour pay-per-view, and that would have been killer.
Yeah, and you have the Australian girls there.
Oh, yeah, the iconic...
iconic duo, whatever they call themselves.
They're starting to... Well, clearly they're starting to bring in more women probably for the Mae Young Classic, but it's nice to see that they're finally developing people, because Liv Morgan, I don't think... I had really high hopes for her, but her development is really stunted right now.
She's like a poor man's knockoff of Carmella.
Really poor, like TNA poor man's knockoff. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Or knockout.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there.
Aaliyah or Nymph. Where the fuck? I think she goes by Aaliyah.
Yeah, it's Aaliyah now.
She seems to be hated by the fans, yet she's still trying to be a face. What do you just turn her into a hot chick heel?
Yeah, why not? It's NXT. You might as well just do whatever you want to. See what sticks.
Yeah, I mean, just... Right. You can keep fucking around. Oh, also, Aleister Black didn't have a match. That's who I was forgetting.
Oh, yeah.
That dude's fucking... He's impressing me because I came in not wanting to really like the guy. I didn't really like his music, but he sold me so far. I can start saying he's growing on me a little bit. I don't know. I just feel that if you spaced out the pay-per-views and then added like these specials, I think you could do a lot of good things. Like the UK, are they actually getting their own show? Is that the eventual game plan?
I believe so. Yeah, with Jim Ross and someone else, Nigel probably calling it. Yeah.
I'm 100% behind that. Are they going to fucking record it before or after Raw, SmackDown? Are they just going to do like a NXT-type taping where they tape like, you know, 4 weeks at a time?
I don't know what they're doing with that.
It would actually make more sense to do the 4 weeks at a time to save on flying Jim Ross.
Right. Or do it, maybe have him wrestle in England and then have JR and Nigel just do voiceover commentary? I don't know.
I could get behind that as well. That was something I wanted to bring up. All right. Otunga was there last night. Booker T still called the show.
Yeah, and Booker T's out tonight too, I think.
Did they realize that Booker T is 5 times better than Otunga?
You think he's 5 times better?
I'm probably shooting a little bit low, but I would say he's 5 times at least.
Maybe.
I don't think Otunga's that... Booker T has added more to Raw the past 2 weeks than anybody has on commentary in a long while. He's adding both a little heel-ness, but he's also adding some, I don't know, some retired wrestler-type perspective, which is valuable. Way more valuable than what JBL does most of the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, a potted plant's better than JBL.
I used to really like JBL, but they've toned him down so much, and I can't do it.
Well, yeah, because the whole bullying thing, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, gotta be a star, man. Gotta be a star.
Mm-hmm.
What chance would you give Samoa Joe at beating Brock Lesnar? Would you even give him a 1% chance?
Any man with two fists has a chance.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
I hate having Lesnar as champion. I think it'll go. Oh, it should go at least 10 minutes. Yeah.
I think Brock Lesnar coming back to WWE has been the worst thing WWE's done over the past 5 years, because that way I can include it in the streak. Because I mean, obviously that was the worst thing they've ever
done. Yeah, that was bad.
But bringing Brock back and then giving him such a huge push and giving them the belt and then not making him be there, it's really diminishing the quality of the belt, the prestige, in my opinion.
Yeah, the belt should be at least on the show. He's not even taking it to like talk shows and stuff. He's just at his place in Canada shooting stuff, right, as far as I know.
And, like, I don't blame him. Like, that's the thing. People are mad at Brock, and you can't blame them. They're allowing him. You allow a petulant child to keep acting like an asshole, you can't blame the child. You blame the parent.
And when he decides to Brock Lesnar, I mean, what are you going to do?
Nothing. There's not many people in this world that terrify me, but I would still be terrified to get Brock Lesnar angry at me.
Yeah, I would not want to mess with him. I mean, you could punch him in the stomach with whatever disease he has there. Maybe that might stop
diverticulitis.
Him. Yeah, that might stop him a bit.
I would say Brock Lesnar is the guy that almost has little man mentality, except in a huge man's body. I just wouldn't want to. He just has that weird anger, rage, aggression thing that when the switch is flipped, it's terrifying. Utterly terrifying.
Yeah. At least Jericho doesn't back down from him.
If they did a Brawl for It All style, who would be the guy that would reach the finals against Brock? Because I think it's safe to say Brock would make it to the finals.
Brawl for It All is just boxing, though, right?
There's takedowns as well. That's where Brock would just.
Because I don't think Brock had a stand-up game at all.
He had a very weak stand-up game. Yeah, his defensive game wasn't that good. So in theory, if he went against somebody who was really good at takedowns, who could actually muscle him down, he could lose. Like somebody like Dolph Ziggler, with size. Yeah. Dolph's really good at takedowns.
And
I would say Dolph actually, Kurt, but he's probably just can't do it anymore.
He could do it probably one night or so, I'd say. Give him some painkillers, he's good to go.
Yeah, that's fair. And anybody else that you could see like doing really well in that?
Someone on Raw once said Heath Slater was a Golden Gloves winner. So if he can if he can stand up against Lesnar, he might have a chance.
Corbin as well.
Well, Corbin might. Yeah, he might have a good shot.
And Corbin's a natural fucking athlete. I would actually like to see Corbin versus Brock. I mean, I think Corbin would obviously succumb to him because he couldn't handle the ground and pound, the wrestling aspect. But standing up, that'd be an interesting fight.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'd also like to know how somebody like a Big Show or Braun Strowman would be. Because I don't care how old Big Show is. If he punched you really hard, I have to assume that would hurt
a lot of mass behind that punch. Yeah,
and same with Braun. Braun is probably stronger than Big Show.
He might knock your head off.
I would be fascinated by this. Then that's another series they could do for WWE. Not necessarily do the matches, but have they're big on fantasy fucking warfare, so why not make a show called Fantasy Warfare?
Didn't they used to have that on, Sci-Fi or Spike, where they had, who would win, Genghis Khan or Napoleon or whatever?
It was either on Sci-Fi or Spike, but Raw used to do past superstars versus current superstars. Why not bring that idea back? I think it'd be cool as shit.
It'd be this guy has a punching power of whatever.
I don't know. I think that I would watch the shit out of that show.
It'd be interesting if at least one or two shows, yeah.
We're just giving WWE free ideas.
If only they listen to this podcast.
If only. If only.
Now, if they ever come out with these shows on TV, like New Jack and Steve Blackman as bunny hunters, we got a lawsuit in our hands.
Yeah, because realistically, nobody in their right mind would have ever come up with that idea except for us, so we could be nobody else thought of that. That was us.
That's all us. Yeah. I'll take one lump sum payment of $200,000. I'll be happy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can get my fucking haircut that I've always wanted. Shit. Looking ahead, because we'll probably be cutting this short eventually here. Money in the Bank's coming up. Who do you think's winning the briefcase?
For which one?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Six of them now.
Well, let's talk about the women first.
This is sad, but I envisioned the ladders like they had in the WLC.
Do you think the belt's gonna be hanging a lot lower? It's got to, right?
It's gonna be the height they had for the AOP DIY match, or maybe even lower than that.
Because Charlotte is long, and Tamina isn't terribly short, I don't think, right?
She's pretty big, yeah.
So Charlotte and Tamina have advantage. A distinct advantage over... Well, Becky's not tall. Natalya's about medium. I can't even remember who the... Oh, Carmella's short as shit.
At least Alexa's not in there.
Yeah, that would just be so unfair. Who do you think's going to win that?
Probably Charlotte. Because it's history.
I thought Carmella.
Charlotte always makes history, so...
But can you really picture... I'm struggling to picture her with the case. I can see Ellsworth carrying that fucking case.
I think Charlotte might be kind of scared of the ladder. Because that one tables match he had... There's that one spot where she was supposed to fall through the table and she just kind of stepped down and then, like, stepped on it. So, she might be scared of getting injured.
I agree. I my dark horse is actually Tamina. I think WWE's kind of set on trying to do something with her, I'm hoping.
Yeah, but they can't really say, oh, that's Superfly's daughter.
Why not?
I mean, he did kill someone and everything.
They're never going... I mean, isn't that funny? Like, Superfly never lost his Hall of Fame. Benoit can never make it. For obvious reasons. Like, even I can't argue that Benoit should be in the Hall of Fame because any media involved would just be all about Benoit. It would take away from anybody else being...
I have a theory, and this is kind of a morbid theory, but if he just killed his wife, he would be in the Hall of Fame.
Huh. That's an interesting...
I think with his kids involved,
the kid
is no way.
Yeah. Huh. I can see that being a huge deal.
I mean, it's sad that's the case. Look at Superfly.
Also, it happened when he was still an active wrestler. That it's easier to distance yourself when they're not an active wrestler unless it's Hulk Hogan.
I also think he was mentally ill and was never diagnosed. And the concussion didn't help him.
I can only imagine based on what happens with my head, and the fact that I didn't have nearly the concussions that Benoit did.
No one's had. I can tell you, Davey Boy maybe, but I mean, but yeah, Davey Boy. No, Dynamite Kid.
Yeah,
maybe Dynamite. But, yeah,
I can say this. I can say that your world gets a little different. And as you go along, like your memory gets really fucked up, and I even admit, like, I'm way quicker to anger than I was even 2 years ago. I can see where somebody who has a brain significantly more damaged than mine is, I can see all sorts of bad things happening, even though I still think that somebody else did the killing. I could see somebody flying off the handle if his brain was as damaged as it's been reported that it was.
But yeah, that's a competition for Daniel Bryan to have one more match.
I only want Daniel Bryan to be SmackDown GM, and that's it. Like, I'm done with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, let him do Talking Smack, let him be a GM, and that's it.
Right. That's perfect. The men's Money in the Bank. Who you got?
Corbin? Just gonna like Baron Corbin.
Love Baron Corbin. As much as I love Baron Corbin, which you know, everybody knows I love Baron Corbin, I said this in my blog at WWE.com. No, at 9deuce.com/blogs/wrestling, whatever. I suggested that this is the best time if they're really pushing that, you know, land of opportunity. Right now, Sami Zayn should win that Money in the Bank briefcase. now is the best time ever to strike gold with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that it is, really. And because he was the last one in the match, right? For the number one contender. And the Bollywood boy is costing it.
Yeah. And then if Sami wanted to cash in against Jinder, I mean, that's a main event match with two guys that weren't sniffing the main event, you know, 2 months ago.
And it's two different religions, other than, you know, the Judeo-Christian religion. Judeo-Christian, not Judeo-Christian.
Judo. Yeah, I think it'd be... I don't know. Sign me up for Sami Zayn.
I mean, Sami speaks like six different languages. You got Jinder speaking Hindi, or Punjabi, or whatever it is he's speaking.
Well, wouldn't you agree that Baron Corbin's never going to have an issue getting title matches?
Oh, no, he's set for a long time.
Right. Sami, though, he struggles to get those big matches. So why not cement the guy now when you can? Hell, Baron can take the belt off of Sami because they put on a good match.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That'd be next feud for Sami once he gets the belt.
Right. I think Sammy's the guy to win it. I don't think they're going to do it, but he's going to be my pick.
It's a good pick. It makes sense. But
would he probably
be the one that's like noble and say like I'm cashing it in 2 months and give time to prepare for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't be like that, Sami.
That's his gimmick, though. That's like his thing.
When did that last work? I know RVD did it.
That's pretty much it, I think.
Wow. Yo, all right. I gotta ask you. I think you know the answer. What's the all-time worst Money in the Bank cash in?
Was it Del Rio? No, Ziggler. No, who? Who won it and then lost it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking of a
someone
different
cash-in. Someone lost it, didn't they?
Oh yeah, it's been lost before. His name is Damian Sandow.
I forgot he even won it.
Right, that's how bad it was. And then he came out and challenged Cena when Cena was Super Cena, and the match lasted a few minutes, and Sandow jobbed, and it was like...
So Sandow was over, yeah. But, yeah, that's the worst one.
Yeah. I don't think...
Is it Kennedy win it, and he's the one that lost it?
Kennedy lost it because he got... Was it because he got hurt, or was it drugs?
Maybe both.
Yeah, and then Edge got it off of him. Edge and Ziggler are probably still my two favorite cash-ins.
Yeah, I would probably say Edge is better, because Edge is better overall.
Plus, it happened in Albany.
That's right.
And it was his first belt.
Yep. Albany is like a hotbed of like great wrestling stuff.
Albany and Edge are... I mean, Edge retired in Albany. Like, Edge has so much history in Albany for his WWE career, it's ridiculous.
There should be a statue of him outside the Times Union Center.
Oh my god, I'd be 100% behind that.
We should kickstart that.
You know, I don't feel I made fun of Carrie enough for her top 10 list, but she included Lita. Now, she also included Trish, which I wasn't going to argue with, because I knew she wanted to include a female. But she also included Lita. I'm going to just ask you, would you ever...
Where was she in the top 10? Was she like 10?
She had Trish and Lita tied at 8.
No.
In your esteemed opinion, where would you rank Lita in the Mania era?
Women or overall?
We're talking overall.
200? I don't know. Low.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I'd have her that high, but... Yeah, made for a good moment.
I can see, like, Trish, though.
Trish, I had no qualms with, because Trish really helped in a lot of ways. I was just thinking, if I had to choose a second female, who would you choose as your second female? That's where things get a little more hectic.
Mickey
for
James?
Me. Mickey's
Gail
good.
Kim?
Melina.
Gail Kim's good.
Melina. Outheld it a
Lena's
lot.
Lena's good, yep.
What else was I just thinking of? Shit. I can't remember. I just had a name and I pretty much lost it.
Bula and Young.
Wasn't Molly Holly.
Molly Holly was good, yep.
God damn it. Honestly, she didn't have the longevity, and that's why I wouldn't really consider her, but AJ Lee was involved in so many big storylines during her run.
Yeah, she was.
Like, and to me, that's more important than, you know, a few title reigns. To me, being involved in main event storylines is more important. And that's where Trish and Lita. I mean, Lita was involved with Edge for the Rated R Superstar stuff. And
the Hardys.
I do have to count that. But I have to take away points for that.
I would put Beulah and Francine above Lita.
Oh, yeah. I would, too. I would probably put Natalya for longevity over Lita.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
And Beth Phoenix?
She had a good part.
The thing with Lita, and this is another point that does need to be made, as much as I didn't like her, she did inspire a lot of women to think, hey, I can do this. And I bet you a lot of the modern day female stars right now would credit her probably like top three that like influenced them to get into
the business. Yeah, it's probably her and Trish.
Right. And then probably like some other random girl. So in that regard, she is very important. And,
but not top 10 ever. I mean, that's just insane.
That is insane. But it's hard to weigh her importance. She's a difficult one.
Well, I mean, her story's pretty good, too. Like, she did it all by herself. She went to Mexico not knowing any Spanish, I don't think.
Yeah.
Miscongeniality.
Fucking Miss.
I think she was with Poppy Chulo for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. Oh, God. I liked her, actually, in ECW. Like, she didn't do much, but I liked her.
I mean, she was a great tag team manager.
Yeah. It was Doring and Roadkill, yep. Right? Yeah.
Such a good team D-Lane. That was.
Playoffs.
It made no sense, but it was awesome.
It never made sense. No. I never even understood what the hell Danny Doring's gimmick was.
He had last moves that were like sexual. I don't know.
I guess.
He hit the panty drop legs drop in the G spot suite, I think, with some finishers.
He was 100% pure class.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know, I think back to that time, I'm like, you know, I really liked Kid Cash when he was in ECW.
I remember was it against Mike Awesome where he turned a powerbomb from a top rope into a hurricanrana?
I believe
that
so.
That was pretty good.
He was cool in the fact that he was muscular enough to make it believable when he was in the ring with guys that were a little bit bigger than him, but he was still really good with the high-flying shit. Kind of remind me a little bit of Jerry Lynn as far as size and build goes, just a little bit more smaller, I think.
Yeah, he was a bit smaller than Lynn. Lynn was awesome in ECW, too.
Did you know that Lynn is still working for WWE, and he has, like, really short hair now?
I know he cut his hair. I didn't know he was employed still by WWE.
Yeah, I saw an interview with him, and I was like, holy shit, Jerry fucking Lynn. So, that's cool. I think he's helping in developmental, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, him and Steve Corino?
Which,
get a feud going again?
I don't know, like, would you consider, if you're WWE, would you consider hiring RVD, or would you keep him as far away from your young talent as possible?
He can tell them what not to do.
He is a good poster child for what not to do. I agree with that.
I still say, though, if he was an actual WWE talent that they actually wanted to keep around, they wouldn't have fired him.
Who do you think he pissed off? Do you think it was Triple H? Do you think it was Vince?
I think it was both. Yeah.
Just for unprofessionalism?
Yeah.
I can see that, and I don't blame them for getting
pissed
off.
Like, I mean, he's a champ. Don't do the two champion, wasn't he? Yeah, he was caught with
he was the only time, only, and to just blow it on fucking weed. The thing is, I know it's only weed, but simultaneously, I could actually understand it more if it was like heroin, because it's like, at least you know heroin's super fucking addictive. With weed, weed's not nearly as addictive. Like, just fucking get over it while you're having your top run. That's all.
Just hide it better. Come on.
I'll still... Nobody gets higher than RVD. Like, that's still one of the greatest lines ever. So good. I'm trying to think who else, like... I know Brett's just a bitter jackass, so I wouldn't consider him, but... I'm trying to think of, like, other guys that could really help... Who else would you consider for developmental? Like, if you could pick three guys that aren't currently working there, who would you pick?
Cyrus? I don't know.
I would hire James Mitchell. I think James Mitchell should be... I love that dude.
I mean, he burned his hand off, but, I mean, that's nothing.
Trying to think, like, who... Taker, obviously, I would want Taker, but Taker doesn't seem like a guy that would want to do that job. So I
feel like he's probably still employed too.
Gosh, I'm kind of stuck on this because I think of so many guys. I'm like, well, there we got Steamboat.
I guess Arn Anderson. Jake isn't employed.
Hall and Jake. There you go.
DDP, I guess. I don't know.
And Raven.
Raven would be good
if they could.
Yeah.
If you could get those three guys and be like, here's your promo class and ring psychology class. Just those two things. That's all those three guys would teach. I think we would see so much better matches.
Imagine that's what Kreno's doing now, right? It's just a promo class?
Yeah, but, I mean, in all fairness, as much as I like Kreno, he's nowhere near as good as those three guys. And, I mean, shit, they got Norman Smiley training them and shit. And I'm like, okay, and nothing gets Norman. I always actually enjoyed the wiggle and everything. But when you think about it, it's like, wow, Jake and Hall could teach those kids so much about, I mean, Jake, especially in-ring psychology, but he always knew how to cut that quiet promo and just raise his voice just enough when needed.
Yeah, that's what kind of McFoley kind of did too.
Right, and I mean, shit, Raven rarely ever screamed.
Raven had a PhD in rhetoric? Something like that?
Yeah, he was one.
So he's a bright guy.
I'm trying to think, like, it seemed like X-Pac should be a knowledgeable guy, but he, I don't know, he seems almost like a guy that wouldn't trust around the younger stars.
I don't know, I mean, he hit that thing where he was pulled over for something, but it ended up being just prescriptions.
It was cleared, yeah, but, I mean, he also did porn with China.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm a little torn on him. Like, he seems like he'd be really good. Is Rey Mysterio still wrestling?
That's I knew he was Lucha Underground. I think he still is.
All right, so, I mean, they got Malenko, but I don't know if he's not a teacher so much as a road agent, I think.
Yeah, I think he does road agent stuff.
I think Billy Gunn should be welcome back, honestly.
Might as well. I mean, it's steroids. Who really cares?
Right. He was... I would say Billy Gunn is probably one of the top five best tag team wrestlers of all time.
He did have two good tag teams.
Yeah. Three.
Three. Oh, him and Chuck?
Him and Chuck, Smoking Guns, and New Age Outlaws. Those all three were successful tag teams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to think of who else would be that many tag teams. Kane, I guess.
Kane. Well, a lot of the top single stars have these random, like, one-off tag teams.
Like Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, thanks. Stone Cold, Mankind.
Right. I still say Edge is probably the greatest tag team wrestler of all time. Because not only with Christian, but, I mean, he held the belt with quite a few other people, including Hulk Hogan's only run.
Yeah.
And I don't know who else I would even put. Like, Edge and Billy Gunn are, like, my top two tag team guys. I don't necessarily. I know there's other guys out there that are, you know, deserving of being in that conversation. I'm just struggling with who else.
It's just tough because a lot of the great tag teams you associate with only, you know, those two people. And you don't think of any other pair-ups they've had.
Right. Like.
Like, you're not going to say Animal with Heinrich were a good tag team.
No. Or him and Draz, for that
matter.
It
could have been if Draz didn't get paralyzed.
True. Wow, I am really kind of stuck on this one. Arn Anderson was good.
Brainbusters.
But, you know, that's just as much Tully, I guess you would say. Bobby fucking Heenan, man. I love that guy. I'm actually surprised he's still alive. I hate to say that, but I'm actually really surprised.
It's a shame that he had, what, throat cancer?
Yeah, I believe it's something with throat, yeah.
The best thing he's known for, he can't do anymore.
Right, exactly. Like that's the fucking bummer. It's like, everybody else can talk just fine, but the guy who was probably the greatest guy on mic ever can't talk worth a shit. It's very weird.
Yeah, life sucks.
All right.
On that note.
Trying to think. That was depressing as hell.
I'm going to kill myself now.
I mean, you could kill yourself or you could watch Raw. I can't even watch Raw tonight because I made a promise.
That's a coin toss, I think.
Yeah. I promised that I wouldn't if Elias Sampson didn't interfere in the Dean match, so I can't watch till tomorrow.
Wow, that's the stakes you're going on?
Yeah. It doesn't take much for me to quote-unquote punish myself from seeing 3 hours of Raw.
I remember in college, I actually boycotted when China was IC champion.
That's
I watched
fantastic.
Only WCW.
I got super mad when I was in college because I had to go to a theater rehearsal on a Monday night, and prior to that, I had never missed a single Monday night Raw. Like, once it became Raw.
Oh, wow.
So, I was really mad to the point where I was like, I almost quit the play.
Now it's like, why can't I have something to do Monday night?
Right, now it's just fuck all. Like, tonight, I'm going to play a video game and probably... keep binge watching Orange is the New Black since it comes back on Friday.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yep.
So I'm just trying to regale my brain with memories. So that's probably what I'm going to do tonight. And I don't know. Like Raw is not a priority. I actually SmackDown hasn't been a huge priority for me as of late.
No, I know.
It's missing. It's something sad since. Yeah, I don't know. Wrestling's... I hate to say it. Wrestling's not a huge priority. As much as I love it when it's good, it seems more and more rare for it to be good. Would you not agree with that?
No, yeah. It's definitely not always good. It's more bad than good.
I would say 10 years ago, if we were doing this podcast and it was 8 o'clock, I'd be like, well, we're finishing up right now because I'm not...
No matter what, you'd be like, done. Click. Stop. Yeah.
Right. Like... But now, it's... I just don't care. Like, thank God for fucking DVRs.
Yeah, you can skip all the commercials and the two-hour-long talking segments. And all the... This happened 5 minutes ago.
This is what I wanted to mention. During the Fatal 5-Way, I'm not shitting you, I wrote this down as I saw you were coming on Skype. Michael Cole, when Samoa Joe got Finn Balor... This is exactly what fucking Michael Cole said. Balor's in trouble. Balor's in trouble. Balor's fading. Balor's fading. Balor may be out. Balor's turning blue. Balor may be out. Balor's fading. He said that all in, like, succession.
That is a lot.
How fucking obnoxious is that shit?
Yeah, you know he had someone in his ear doing that. Probably Vince.
Like, was he trying to, like, do, like, Stone Cold? I don't...
Trying to get an iconic call in there?
Oh. I think he was trying to make it larger than life, and if it was so fucking bad.
Trying to make it like Vince's 1-2, he got him. Oh no, he didn't.
I miss Vince on commentary.
Him and the Body were good.
Oh yeah, and I liked Macho Man on commentary.
Oh, him and that comedian man.
Oh god, yeah. I'll tell you another guy who I always thought was underrated on commentary was CM Punk. He wasn't on it all that much, but he was good when he was on it.
He could be someone they hired to do promos. He was good at promos.
Yeah, I wish they could mend their fucking bridges and bring him back for something. Like, even if it's not to wrestle, I would just like... Punk is a really good wrestling mind. He can be a dick. There's no doubt about that, but... he does have that wrestling mind.
Yeah, and I think this is more CM Punk than anyone else. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Punk's ever going. I don't think Punk's going to be able to let it go.
And he doesn't have to. I mean, he doesn't need the money apparently. So.
Yeah, when you got money, you can say fuck.
You can
it.
Hold grudges like that.
I mean, I hold grudges and I have no money, but that's just because I'm a vindictive, stubborn German asshole.
I mean, I wonder if AJ's ever going to regret CM Punk's attitude about wrestling. Because he can't wrestle there if he's not going to be there.
Right. Yeah. I don't... AJ's in such a weird predicament because of, like... I mean, Carrie was telling us she read the AJ book and about, like, her mom's mental illness, and then AJ Lee also had some mental stuff going on. It's weird, you know? Like... AJ was like the number one female performer for a good 2 years, right?
For a while.
And now she's just doing nothing. Like, I hope she's happy, but...
Well, she's got a kid now, too.
I don't know. She has a kid?
Did she get pregnant? No, maybe not. Well, no, that's just rumors, I think. Never mind. Just fake that.
I do know that Paige and Alberto reportedly got into an argument, and I'm like, holy shit, is she still alive?
I'm waiting for the day we get news that one of those two are dead, or both.
I think I think we're on to a very serious, almost Benoit-like thing with them, because Paige seems like a girl that can't keep herself out of drama, and Alberto seems like such a hothead that something bad could happen.
Any moment. Yeah.
Like, I really hope neither of them drink. That's the best I can
I think
hope.
That stabbing W had was Paige. And they just stayed it with some guy in the street.
I agree. Yeah, I really think Paige is a little crazy. Yeah, I think that's fair
to say.
That
seems fair. Yeah.
And, like I said, Alberto... I mean, Christ, do you remember when Alberto was wrestling and, like, somebody would hit him too hard? Like, he'd get that look in his eye, and he made sure to get retribution mm-hmm. in the ring.
Yep.
Like, he did not fuck around.
No.
Which I kind of liked about... I liked that
aspect.
Yeah, because
it was, like, either lazy Del Rio or the pissed off Del Rio.
Oh, yeah. Give me pissed off Del Rio any day of the fucking week, and I'm sold. There was rumor that AJ Styles was supposed to have his foot on the rope when Dolph pinned him. Do you believe that rumor, or do you think it's just bullshit?
Huh. That would kind of go with Dolph's character of never winning any matches.
It would. I think the rumor's bullshit just because it was in AJ's hometown.
Oh, that's true. The whole curse thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's how you just rumors.
I mean, because Dolph knows better than to roll a guy up the way that he did if there was supposed to be any kind of fuckery at the
end. You would think he would, yeah.
I mean, really, how many guys in WWE do you trust more in-ring than Dolph Ziggler? There's
Heath Slater. Because he always got those celebrity matches.
He's just one man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks. By then, the NBA Finals will be over with. I think they're pretty much over right now. We both said the Warriors.
I would say two more games and I'm done.
You don't think the Cavs are winning?
I don't think so. No. Unless the Cavs get like 5 All Stars somehow, there's no way.
Do you think this is the end of the Cavs' run?
LeBron might go somewhere else to get a championship. Probably Golden State.
Oh my god, I would throw up.
And then the rest of the NBA just gives up.
I could see him with the Spurs, though.
Do you think he's coachable, though?
Yeah, for the champion, for almost a surefire championship, I would say, I say championship takes priority. It's kind of like Jordan knew enough to shut his fucking mouth because he knew he was going to get a belt. Or belt. God damn it.
Well, they get belts now.
A ring. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Chris Paul is also rumored to go to the Spurs, which I think makes zero sense because of the amount of salary that would have to be shed.
I think they would probably take less, though, if you get them both there in San Antonio.
Like, right now, San Antonio... I still say San Antonio is a bigger threat to Golden State than the Cavs are.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is just awesome. And a well-coached team is always a threat.
What?
A well-coached team with some talent is always a threat.
Oh, yeah. I think a healthy Spurs team versus a healthy Cavs team, I think a healthy Spurs team wins that match.
I would hope so. I mean, just because I hate the Warriors or the Cavs.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of the Cavs. I mean, I haven't been a fan of the Cavs since I started watching, like, 1990.
I mean, it's been proven that the Spurs can beat the Cavs. They've done it. they had Duncan then, but...
God, that was, like, 2008?
Yeah, it was a couple
2009?
Years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. I was actually reading a thing about the Warriors. They can feasibly keep this team fairly together until about 2020, I think.
Holy cow.
The big thing that they're going to run into a problem is that you can only have, per the collective bargaining agreement, 2 max salary, like the super max. So Steph is going to get his this summer. That's almost a fact. Then I think it's Clay, I can't remember if it's Clay or Draymond. I think it's Clay that's due, and then Draymond the next year. So
I
some point,
Thompson
Clay or
Draymond.
Draymond. Yeah.
I mean,
Clay's
I
really
hate Draymond
good,
Green,
but
he's more important to the team than Clay Thompson.
Oh yeah, without Draymond, that team doesn't have nearly the defensive prowess. That's just a fact.
And defense is still needed, despite what it might look like in the NBA today.
Despite what everything tells you, defense still matters, and that's why I still liked Kawhi Leonard for possible MVP. We haven't had the MVP announced yet, have we?
I don't think so.
What the fuck's the holdup?
Is it after the finals they announce that stuff?
I don't know. It's a regular season award. Like, they should have had this shit
a long time ago
on lockdown.
Maybe we missed it.
The first round of the playoffs. Huh. Well, now I'm fucking curious. I check ESPN almost every day, and I don't recall seeing anything. 2007.
Probably went to Steph Curry.
MVP. Let's see here. Nope. Nothing announced yet. I mean, after fucking Harden shit the bed, I'm pretty sure. Well, shouldn't the votes be cast before the playoffs start?
If it's regular season, the playoffs shouldn't matter.
Right, but you know voters are still retarded, so shouldn't the ballots be collected before the first, like there's probably like 2 days
I would say
between
so,
the
yeah.
I think that's the only fair thing to do, but I mean, NBA's never been known for fairness. I mean, come on. Celtics and Lakers got number 1 and number 2. Really?
Yep.
Fucking A. I honestly, I'm looking forward to the whole Lonzo Ball era. I'm very curious to see how that goes. See who gets sick of his shit. See who gets sick of his father's shit first.
Yeah, it's mostly his father, I think.
Lonzo itself, he doesn't seem like a bad kid. I also don't think he's going to be a superstar either. Do you?
On the right team, he could be.
Do you think the Lakers are the right
team? I think he's more of a classic point guard, where he, you know, sets other people up.
Well, the combination of him and I can't think of Russell's first name, the point guard that Lakers currently have that drafted
him
a couple years ago. Do you think they got to get rid of Russell in order for Lonzo to reach full potential?
Yeah, I would say so. I think he needs to be a starting point guard. I don't think he'd be a two. Maybe Russell can. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Russell came in touted as the next Magic Johnson because, you know, everybody gets touted as the next something. Which I don't... It's such an unfair thing, really. But...
I haven't heard anyone be an XW Bird in a while. Or ever.
Do you think Paul George gets on a different team before the season begins?
Yes. He needs to...
Where to?
Celtics, hopefully. I don't know, but he needs to go somewhere he can get a chance of winning.
Yeah, I could see him going to the Lakers or Celtics. I don't think the Celtics are getting Gordon Hayward. Is it Hayward or Haywood?
With the Jazz? Is it Hayward?
Yeah.
I think it's Hayward.
Hayward, okay. I know it's Gordon at the very least. I don't think the Celtics are getting him, so if the Celtics really want to be serious, and I think with Paul George, they could upset the Cavs next season. And I don't even like the Celtics. I hate them, but they're a good team.
Right.
I think with Paul George, that makes all the difference in the fucking world, doesn't it?
It would be a huge difference, yeah. They have a lot better shot than they did this year. Because your guy Isaiah Thomas healthy, too, which means there's no defense on the point guard. So Kyrie Irving would have a huge game.
Would you trade Isaiah Thomas? Because I think that'd be wise.
I want it because right now the deal he has is so much in their favor.
He becomes a free agent next offseason, right?
I believe so, yeah.
It's tough because he kills you on defense. He's really good on offense. With the way the NBA rules are nowadays, does him being so bad in defense really hurt you? Still?
I guess not. I mean, they were first in the East this year.
Yeah. And doesn't that say something about how shitty the East is? Because, I mean, really, the Celtics are not that great of a team.
I don't
team.
Think LeBron tried that much during the season, to be honest.
No, I don't think so either. If I look at the West, I can say that I think the Spurs, I think the Rockets, and possibly the Clippers and the Jazz all could have been number one seed in the East had they played the East.
The Thunder, too.
Yeah, I could see that with Westbrook. I don't remember what the other two teams were that made it.
I don't either.
Not sure if the... Didn't Portland made it?
They usually make it first round, yeah.
And then, I don't know, I don't think it was the Pelicans, wasn't it?
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know, for some reason I keep thinking it was the Pelicans or the Nuggets.
I think it was Pelicans.
That would make some sense. So, I don't know. I haven't watched any NBA. I don't have access to it, so... I just watch and catch up, and I'm like, well, if I had to pick a season to really miss, this was a really good season to miss.
If it's going to be Warriors like this for the next 5 years, it's not worth watching NBA.
Well, where do you stand? Because a lot of sports pundits like to say that a league is in its best when they have at least one super team. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's better when there's more parity?
That's tough. Because the NFL right now is at like all-time records for everything. And they kind of have a super team in the Patriots, but they kind of don't at the same time because of parity. I think it's better when you have like 2, 3, 4 teams that are really good. Like in the 80s, you had the Pistons, the Celtics, the Lakers. Like that. That's a lot better than what you have now.
I'll take more parity over more super teams. With that being said, with the NFL, it's interesting because the Patriots haven't been in every Super Bowl the past decade, but they've been in, what, 6, 7 of them?
Yeah.
But the NFC has been exciting as fuck. Even though I don't like the NFC, I'm an AFC guy, the NFC has been represented by, what, 8 different teams over the past 10 years?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl twice, right?
Yep, the Falcons.
And the Giants went twice, right?
That's not in 10 years, I don't think.
No?
When was the last one? They won it in... They might have gone once in the last 10 years.
So I think it's fair, though, to say 8 teams in the NFC over the past 10 years.
Yeah, the NFC is pretty good. Maybe. Like that.
And that's cool, though. I think that actually works in some ways. It just doesn't work for the NBA, though. I feel that the most exciting seasons have been when you have, you know, especially in the semifinals, like, good basketball still going. If there's not good basketball going in your second round of the playoffs, you're kind of a shitty league.
Like this year.
This year there has been... Was there a single upset?
Technically, Cavs over Celtics, but not really.
Technically, but I mean, anybody with, you know, who's been paying attention wasn't surprised.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. All right, we've reached probably our quota for the week, and we gotta be back here again for fucking Money in the Bank.
We got maybe an hour of us being talking.
Nobody really comes for the wrestling talk anymore.
No one comes
people
anyways.
Just enjoy the chit-chat. Like, I think the people that listen to this just enjoy banter between two dudes talking about shit, and it doesn't fucking matter.
Maybe. I don't know.
Dude, do you have Amazon Prime?
I do, yeah.
All right. There is a movie that intrigues me significantly. Let me find the name of it. I saw that Winter's Bone was finally made available for free. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I heard it's Jennifer Lawrence's best acting job.
By far. Like, it's the only movie that I really liked her in. When I looked for that, it said other, you know, movies other people, customers also watched. And there's a movie called Dead Bite. The synopsis was, on a beautiful island locale, a hip-hop group finds themselves surrounded by undead zombies out for blood.
Interesting.
Tell me you're not slightly intrigued by Dead
it's
Bite
called
after
Dead
that
Bite?
Synopsis.
How is that similar to Winter's Bone?
I have no idea, because Winter's Bone is like this drama about fucking dealing drugs and fucking Ozark Mountains and shit.
Yeah, it's totally not about zombies at all. Or hip-hop.
No. Also, though, like the 8th movie under customers also watched was a thing about Ava Braun, so...
Do you think maybe someone who was in Winter's Bone was in those movies?
No, because Amazon's nice, and like, if you keep going lower, it shows like what the director's also done and what the top actors and actresses have done. I think what happened is maybe all these movies may have been recently released and they all kind of got lumped together.
Oh.
Or not recently released, but recently.
So someone was like, oh, look, this is available now. Let's watch that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, watch Winter's Bone and stay for Dead Bite.
It's a nice double feature.
Oh, yeah. And We got a blog coming up in 10 days for The Babadook, and then for July 1st, we're doing Jaws.
Ooh. I still haven't seen The Babadook.
That's on Netflix. If you
yeah,
have that.
I just haven't gotten around to it.
Solid Aussie horror film. I really liked it. I think I got like a 6 point something on IMDb, which is pretty good for horror. Most horror
doesn't
that's
pretty good.
More than a 5. But all right, with that being said, if anybody wants to check out the blogs, it's 9deuce.com/wrestling, or just go to 9deuce.com and find all sorts of other goodies, including horror blogs, blogs about fucking television shows, and all sorts of inaneness. You can find all the previous podcasts. If you go to Twitter, or Instagram, we're at official9deuce, the number 9, not the word 9. And really, if you just find one of the blogs, all the fucking information.
You make people
there,
spell
so
deuce?
Do that. Deuce. I do make people spell deuce. And, you know, I typo the hell out of that so many times it sucks. But, one last thing I want to read out loud. I was on a deal website and there was a thing for a mattress. So I got bored. I was reading about it. And one of the reviews said, I ordered this last time. First new mattress that I've ever purchased in my 35 years. Has a pretty intense chemical smell for the first several days. I slept on the couch until this aired out, but I'm very sensitive to smells like that. Good for sleeping. No complaints for when Hulk smash either.
Wow.
Now, I want to point out, I have a female friend, who I call Biddy, who has an incredible Hulk fist on her ass. And I have long referred to ass sex as Hulk smash. I'm just saying, this is great that, like, 10 years down the road, somebody wrote a fucking review on a mattress about Hulk smash.
Is it possible that it's her?
I don't know. I tagged her on Facebook about it, just to be a dick.
That's pretty funny.
shit. So, yeah. That's how I really
I'm also
kind of
worried about
that
chemical smell.
Yeah, like, so you buy a new mattress and you can't sleep on it for a few days because your bed reeks too much? That kind of seems awful, right?
Apparently the quality of sleep and Hulk smash you get makes up for it.
Hulk smash. I swear to God, I don't know why they haven't done the Avengers porn where Hulk it says Hulk smash as he's railing the chick from behind.
They might have. I haven't seen any Avengers porn yet, but they might have.
Oh, I've watched the Avengers porn stuff. They haven't yet, to my knowledge.
Did you watch the Montreal Screwjob porn yet?
No!
I think it's a Brazzers. It's just like one scene. But yeah, it's someone's Bret Hart, someone's Shawn Michaels.
Montreal. I'm leaving myself a note to look for that. And the Rhino dance.
Yes, you have to find that.
Alright. Well, I think we've left our fans on a really good
note. Some good movies to watch.
Dead Bite, Winter's Bone, find some fucking Avengers porn. Yeah, Montreal Screwjob porn. Keeping it classy here. Do you have any parting thoughts, Steve?
That's it.
Fan-fucking-tastic. Alright, for Steve, this is Kent. Sniff you jerks later.